Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. I am your host. You can always listen on the radio dial, 92.9 FM, 680 AM. If you're away from the radio dial, we are streaming live on the Odyssey app. You can also stream us on the TuneIn radio app as well as the iHeart radio app. George Ruggiero is the producer of the program. You can follow him on the Everything app at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Good day, Jeffrey.
Are we playing any fun and games tonight?
We are. Come on down to Hampline Brewing, Connor's usual spot, but come play some music bingo with yours truly down at Hampline tonight. And then, of course, tomorrow we got General Knowledge Trivia down in South Haven at Dan McGinnis.
So you can go check out George in either of those locations on either night or both, if you're so inclined. My company, as he is each and every Wednesday on the program, he's the head coach and the team director of Team Thad. Follow him on socials at Dream Big Herd. Coach, good day, sir.
Great day. Happy hump day.
Happy hump day indeed to all. So we'll start with the basketball scene with some buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit. We'll start first with the Grizzlies, and then I kind of want to pick Coach's brain on a theoretical question. Jason Munn's going to join us like he does each and every Wednesday on the program. He, of course, the Tigers basketball beat writer for the Commercial Appeal. We'll discuss one of the questions from his latest podcast. Is it time to reset expectations for this team? Might also get his thoughts on the latest bowl projections, because he'll also have to kind of cross cover some as well. Get into the list during hour number two. Coach finally gets his wish. It's Shador time. We're just going to act like the second half didn't happen, right?
Yeah.
And I'm defending Shador on this one. Like, I'm not holding it against him. But if you come out and you look like ass against the Raiders, I am going to hold that against him. Because it's not like he's replacing. Dylan Gabriel was pretty much darn near the bottom of everything. Like, he really, truly was captain check down. Also get into the college football rankings as well. Want to get Coach's thoughts also on this latest story from ESPN.com about the whole power struggle with the Mavericks with Nico Harrison, how it finally came to an end. And, I mean, I think we are at the point where it's like we have at least gotten, I think, the closest thing we're probably going to get to anyone speaking on the record truly about the Luka story, and it's not really all that dissimilar to what kind of was reported maybe in like the first week or so afterwards, even if it didn't quite make sense. We're going to get Coach's thoughts on that. Talk some more sports as well. Tell your story, and then we'll get out of here. But, George, let's fire it up. Let's do some buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit. All right, boys. I might answer my first one first so I doesn't seem like I'm putting you all on the spot. Is that fair? Because this is going to be one of the ones we're cutting right to it. Buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit. John Jaren have been the biggest disappointment of this Grizzlies season. So I am going first, and I am saying I am buying this. They're making a combined $91 million. And Are they every problem with the team? No. But I think this is fair to say, when you are down as many guys as they are, and granted, obviously, Ja didn't play last night, that's what the money's for. Like, it's the Herman Boone. You want to be a star? Give me a star effort. Like, when you're shorthanded, like, the whole idea was these two guys are supposed to be good enough. I'm not saying to win the West, but we're talking about just being somewhere near a 500 basketball team. And it might be for different reasons. With Ja, he's clearly in a shooting slump. But has his shooting ever gotten better? I mean, we keep hearing about development, development, development. Has it ever gotten better? And I understand shooting can be a percentages thing over the course of the year that it gets better. With Jaren, there was obviously some offensive fit issues, and you're kind of in between wanting to look a certain way with Isolo versus where you look good. And then also on the defensive end, hey, you haven't had a big, brawny big that allows you to roam and be at your best. But in reality, when they've had these two guys, and they've had them for more, if you look at the percentage of the schedule, they've had them more than we've had the last few years. I still think the most disappointing aspect of the season is, with them together, this doesn't even look like a competitive basketball team. So that's how I feel.
So you're asking me now, do I buy or I just go right into it?
You get to say exactly how you feel.
Okay. It's tough, right? And so if someone do have a different opinion with you, from you, I mean, if you're going by how everybody's playing right now, you have valid points, right? This team, two arguably max players. And for people to say, why bring money in this? I think on every job, when you get paid a certain amount, you're expected to produce. Like, that's just life. Like,
well, the reason why you bring it into it is that's what you're getting paid for.
Yeah.
Like, you are being paid because you're the best players, and you're supposed to be the guys that are the foundations of the team. And if the foundation is not solid, how can you expect it to actually, like, hold up?
So that said, it's still early, but you kind of might be right, Jeffrey. I'm just waiting to see a healthy, happy jaw. Because I'm thinking, like, I know the percentages are down, but it had been times where his shooting percentages was down, but it felt like he still had a bigger impact on the game than what currently been seen these last, you know, 3 weeks at times, right? And if you look at the stats, 17, 18 points, 6, 7, 8 assists, that is good in the NBA, but not for no superstar. Like, you know, top somebody with the ball in their hands, top 20 guys, signature shoot guy, you know what I mean? So, and we know how great you can be. So you add that with Jaren, the lack of, you know, everybody's frustrated about the rebounding and everything else.
Sure.
And it do comes with a slight disappointment that we're saying whatever the day is in November. Think it could potentially be an easy fix, a lot like the Tigers, though. You're in the West. So it's like you never want to get down too much in the West, because I don't know how long you can stay down because there's so many good teams to keep fighting. But I think if you ask them, man, and they're realistically – they both know that, you know, they could be doing, you know, better right now. They both know that they could definitely – they're so much better than they're playing right now. So when you look at it like that, then, you know, they – now the biggest disappointment, I would have to think, but, you know, for sure they should be, you know, doing better than they currently are.
All right, George, because I was also trying to think, all right, what could the other options be? I mean, I guess you could say injuries.
Right, and that's been a big – piece of the puzzle as to like why they're in the spot they're in right now. I mean, it feels like that's one of the big things we've been talking about, between Ja himself being injured now with a calf strain, where we look at that and say, all right, they say reevaluated in 2 weeks, but we've seen even minor calf strains end up going a month or two. And then going into the season, Jaren coming off of a surgery, Edie just now coming back from a surgery. And then they're without Ty Jerome, Scotty, and then what handful, BC, handful other guys?
I guess that's also a fair question to ask with Jaren. It was almost like because he didn't really miss time that we just kind of expected him to look like he has, like even at the end of last year. Like how much of this could be attributed to the fact that like, I mean, he missed, I think he was cleared for training camp, but it was basically like he was cleared like right before they started the season.
Right.
And so how much of this can be attributed for Jaren to injury?
Yeah, and when you look at it like that, that really makes me think about it because most of us, Jeffrey, we didn't think Jaren would be ready for game one.
No, then, I think if you would have asked me when they announced the surgery, I was like, it feels like he was going to miss the first month. But he was, quote-unquote, ready to go night one.
Yeah, so when they said it, I think that was a shock to everybody. So
certainly was to this station.
Yeah.
Or this show, I should say.
So with that being said, you probably feel like to give him a pass that, okay.
Well, it's like, you know, when Burrow misses a whole offseason and he has a bad September, I don't give up on him. Now, at what point does that run out? I mean, it's November the 19th. We've been playing basketball for over a month. Like, at what point should you start to be kind of over that?
You know what's crazy, Jeffrey? It's November 19th, and time fly. And although they didn't play a lot of games, it actually only been a little over a month, like, since it was – I went to NBA opening night around mid-October.
Look behind you. You got the schedule over there.
Yeah, I think it's
– So you got preseason games. I feel like their first game was around October 15th.
I thought it was like, October 20th maybe, because they used to start on Halloween, but I feel like they pushed it back like 10 days. Yeah, I can't see in.
I can't read.
George, we don't need 20 you.
20 seconds.
You see what
20
I'm saying?
Seconds.
So it really hadn't been. It feel like it because we didn't play a lot of game. It had been a lot of hype and attention about the season. We didn't been on the Grizzlies, but it ain't even been a month.
No, and also it is like the other reminder.
And a lot has happened in 1 month. Oh,
right.
Like we didn't.
Well.
It's like you're in a relationship.
15 games in a month. That feels like a lot, doesn't it?
Man.
Like,
there's a couple of things. Number one, when you're winning, it is, you know, it's like being on the the vacation to Disney World the first time you go. You blink and it's over. But when you're losing, time stands still. Again, it just goes absolutely nowhere, and you feel like you just can't be done with it fast enough, but it just continues to drag. And to drag, and to drag. I think, though, I don't know, because I guess they're kind of separate things. Like, on the one hand, with Ja, the shooting's bad. But how much of the seeing of the floor is bad? Because, to your point, his assist numbers are still pretty good. And George and I have talked about one of the frustrations that Ja clearly had that we co-signed was, hey, man, I'm making the right play, and it's not getting done. And whether it be clanking threes or Jock Landale showing those DB hands, like, I don't know. That's insulting to DBs. I want to say linebacker hands, but like
we've had some linebackers
that most linebackers were usually playing like at least tight end at the other level, and I would probably throw them the ball before I'd throw him the ball.
Can't even say safeties either.
Nah, because usually it's now in the NFL, it feels like safeties are just corners that lost a step.
They or usually, linebackers that are too small and too fast to play linebacker.
Yeah. Or like linebackers that all of a sudden found like 0.2 of a 40, just mistake, you know, miraculously. I usually like the safeties that shave 0.4 off their 40 and also put on 40 pounds of muscle. I wonder how that happened, Brian Urlacher. Like, wow, how did he all of a sudden get so much faster and so much bigger and he can play linebacker? I wonder. Jeez. No way.
A real mystery of the 2000s football.
I almost want to say like a three technique, But at the same time, like, we've seen some defensive tackles this year, like, make some pretty good plays. Like, get a paw up, like a one-hander. Like,
are we talking, like, now are we getting into, like, offensive guard, like, interior guy? Because I can't say center. They handle the ball too much.
See, almost every offensive lineman I played with all had pretty good hands. They were just fat. But, like, I think about it. Our center had great hands. Both guards had pretty good hands. One of our tackles got recruited, like, they were going to put him as, like, a Mac inline tight end. And then our other tackle was the best athlete we had. Like,
he
played
size.
In Miami.
Size and strength
Tyler Horn was the best athlete we had on the offensive line. So, no,
we might have to switch sports. We might be talking DH.
No. I think
can't even play the field.
No, I think it has to be soccer play. It has to be someone that has.
Oh, just doesn't use their hands. Use their
correct.
Who did we mention on this? We talking about the Grizzlies or Tigers?
We're talking Jock Landale.
Yeah, Jock Landale. I'm trying to think like that. Like,
it's some other basketball players we've been talking about too. Who okay. can't?
No hands.
I don't want to go into them.
Well, we'll get to them in a minute. No, like,
because if it's soccer, it can't be the goalie. It can't be the big ones out there.
Well,
because they have to catch the ball.
This was another Cowherd take.
Oh, geez.
I subscribe to this one. American soccer does have elite goalies.
Yeah, it's because they also play basketball and whatever other sports
sports with their hands. Oftentimes, the Europeans who have the better players. But because they're not playing football, they're not playing basketball, like baseball, stuff that you all do growing up.
Their goalies aren't
as good because they don't have the hand-eye. But they're more skilled. Maybe that's the take with Landale. Is there an Aussie with great hands?
Rugby players?
Yeah, but I'm talking about in the NBA. Like,
oh.
Isn't that kind of the problem with Giddey? Like, Giddey does everything right except, like, maybe not the greatest hands guy or shooter.
Yeah.
Ingles, maybe. I feel like Ingles was pretty skilled.
Yeah, he was pretty good. Ingles, good shooter, too.
Ingles always felt more like Eastern European than he did Australian to me. Like, I thought he should have had an itch in the last of his name. Like,
Ingolovic.
Yeah. But that made more sense to me.
I think we might have gave safeties a little too much credit, though. Because some of them are more hard-hitting tacklers.
I think it depends what we're talking about. Are we talking about a one high safety or are we talking about a two high safety? Because to me, what it really boils down to is how much are you playing down in the box? Because those guys, you're right. They got frying pans.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, because originally, like, they put them on offense, couldn't do that. Then, like, those are the guys that they've had to just figure out a spot to put them for. It's like, well, we got to get this guy on the field, but we have to make sure he doesn't have any plays with ball skills.
Especially like back when they used to do two safeties. I would say the strong safety.
Which was just like a linebacker that was either too small to be a linebacker or like was too slow to play free safety.
Yeah, they're like Freeze had a little more skill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Than the strong ones.
Yeah, because they had to cover more ground usually. But if we're talking free safety, like Earl Thomas, I always trusted Earl Thomas's ball skills.
Oh, it's some now. Like
Earl Thomas made Richard Sherman relevant. They could not have done the defense that Richard Sherman got all the credit because he talked so much. But if they don't have Earl Thomas, they can't run that defense.
Oh, yeah, Earl Thomas. Yep, sorry,
yeah,
because Earl basically covered from like the numbers to the numbers, and then their defense was like, "Hey, corners, just push everything to the outside, and then break on an out route."
And then if anything's in the middle, hey, Cam Chancellor is there.
Yeah.
And enjoy that one, by the way.
Yeah.
They had a real deal defense now. Oh, yeah.
They had Legion of Boom.
Dudes.
Legion of Doom. They were pretty good.
Oh. Okay, I'm trying to think of other options that we could blame it on. Isolo obviously would be one. The schedule?
Yeah, this is a not fun part of the schedule, and it feels like it has gone the beginning part of the slate has felt very coin flip, as in like, okay, cool, we're at home for a handful of games. By the way, enjoy that, you know, 6-game road trip. Okay, you're back for like 2 or 3. Enjoy the next 4 games on the road. I mean, if you look at the schedule, come the beginning of 26, there's a huge homestand in there.
I'm not going to say this guy's the biggest disappointment, but I do think we need to start the conversation. Does more than KCP need to be removed from the starting lineup?
Whoa. So, you know what's funny?
There was a certain someone who had a horrific injury in Charlotte, and I am not, like, downplaying that. But that really helped the myth of Jalen Wells, because when he was out, people started having, like, graduation goggles. Started thinking a lot hotter than he was and kind of forgot he was really starting to slump. And everyone kind of did the whole, this guy's going to be like the number two guard. Like, that's where it's going to be. Guys, he's been horrible. The only person that has a worse real box score plus minus than Jalen, Ja. Jalen did, however, surpass Ja for the worst value over replacement on the Grizzlies.
And with them two, you say, playing bad, there are people, Jeff, it's funny when you brought this up, because I've been in, you know, we all in different sports circles, saying they would take KCP out. I explained to them that, you know, they brought him in for veteran leadership. He has rings. You know, I explained to them the how this thing worked, but a couple of people were interested in hearing that. They felt like right now that they don't think he should be starting for the team, and
they have kind of taken him out. Like, he's – George pointed this out, that, like, he's clearly had a wrist thing for a few weeks now, and they've been kind of managing that. The problem, I guess I would say, is, okay, if you take Jalen Wells out, who are you replacing him with? I think that's probably a fair question.
Yeah, right now, I mean, that's a question right now without a good answer.
Because I don't think at this point the answer can be Cam. Because we saw last night, like, Cam can maybe go 6 of 10 from 3. He is still giving up basically a basket every possession right now.
Oh, yeah, especially if it's a team that can isolate him.
Correct. And so, I mean, to me, the answer would be, if you had Ja back, I would move Vince over. But they are in this position now where they are down every point guard they have. And so they have Vince playing point guard. So I do also fundamentally acknowledge, like, there's not a lot of great answers right here. But, like, I always felt like with Jalen Wells, if the question about him was, could that be like a key rotational player on a good playoff team? I was all there. But when everyone was trying to, like, lift him up as clearly, like, the shooting guard, I was never there. It's the same way I was with Gigi. When everybody got Gigi fever, I'm like, I want to see this in a game that matters. He is doing this in games that do not matter. Nobody's taking the Grizzlies serious, and I want to see what it looks like then. Since then, it has not been great.
No, you was one that was saying, hold on, I'm not buying the GG. You know me?
I understood why people got excited, but at the same time, it's like, I watch enough other NBA teams. You know what I mean? Like, I can tell when teams are not taking another team seriously. And that's how it was for basically 3 or 4 months for that team.
Yeah, when they was just...
It was like a bye game.
Yeah, they was pretty much just desperate. I think that we have found our two guard for the future, though, Jeffrey.
So the question, though, is Cedric the 2 or the 3? Because to me, like, that is right now the biggest bright spots that I've seen, and I get it, these are two games that ended in losses. Since Cedric has gotten bumped up, it feels better, at least, certainly that. And then since Edie has been inserted back into the lineup, they are capable of getting a stop every now and then. Like, I'm not sure how much of holding the Spurs to 111 last night was, like, the Grizzlies' defense. It might have been the horrific shooting that was being displayed last night. What was Mel? No, who's the... So they have Melo. Melo was trying to take the positive spin at the half. Who was the middle guy they had on... was it T-Mac? Is T-Mac the other studio guy?
Yeah, T-Mac
like,
was there.
T-Mac was like, guys, these two teams combined for 4 of 25. Like, we can spend this all we want. This is a bad basketball game. And I was like, thank you, Mr. McGrady. Like,
yeah, it was T-Mac yes. last night.
Yeah, you said nothing I disagree with.
He was on that one.
Yeah, like Maria was like, no, like taking his stat sheet away. Like, you can't look at that. It's like, nah, he's kind of telling the truth right now. Let T-Mac get in the kitchen and do some cooking.
Yeah, like, let him cook. Yeah. But definitely, like I say, KCP, man, with all the leadership and stuff, I don't know if that's the right fit right now. But he is a great leader. He has two rings, but
it's looking so far the early returns are that Orlando might have known what they were giving up.
Mm.
To me, like, there is the other part of it with KCP, and this, I guess, goes back to a little bit earlier on in the year, maybe less injured. I don't want to say, let me rephrase that. Not injured because he's
fresher.
Playing hurt. Less hurting KCP. There were plenty of times where you saw him do uncharacteristic things for his game where you can very clearly see, like, okay, he's trying to step up, makes anything happen for this team offensively, give them a little bit of juice, give them some spark to then, you know, hey, hopefully this inspires a little bit more in the rest of the guys. And that's something a leader does. There's no questioning that part of him as a player, person, you know, anything like that. But the results on the court have been pretty awful.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing with, like, in fairness to Jalen, how much of this is what he is asked to do? Night in, night out, it's whoever the number one scorer is, you got him. And then on top of that, hadn't had a great shooting start. So, like, how much of that is just kind of, there's no one else to kind of help take off some pressure. And then on top of that, you're not shooting the basketball great. So, like, it could just be a bad stretch. You know, I mean, I guess the other kind of aspect of all of this is how much of this is just, like, you're undermanned in almost every single person, with the exception of the other two that I started off with. That's why I keep coming back to the biggest disappointment. Basically, everybody's in a role that is probably asking way too much of them at where they are in their career. Usually kind of the signs of not a great team.
Yeah, that's fair. Like you said, you're asking people to do a lot more right now because we're struggling.
It's like maybe two more spots in the pecking order higher than where you should be.
Yeah, and back to money. You say you don't like to bring up money, but what we all hate at jobs is when they ask the regular guys to do more work than we get paid for.
Yeah.
Like, what you mean, fill in for somebody? I'm not the manager of this house. That's the manager. I can't do my hours.
You don't pay me enough.
Yeah.
Cover for who?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is funny. It's weird how it works economically. Those that get paid the most oftentimes work the least.
Yeah.
Those that work the most oftentimes get paid the least. All right. Buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit. We can do this before we get into Munz. That's a phrasing. Before we welcome Munz to the show.
I'm not even going to go look for it. I know it's in there somewhere, but
the phrasing?
Yeah. I mean, that's on your page.
Yeah, it's, I think it's in green. Penny needs a GM.
Penny needs a GM.
Yeah. Because I looked at it. All right. So Daryl is the director of player development. Townsend is the director of scouting, and I think they just brought Josh in. I think Josh was like a video guy. I think he's got the video background. Felt like he had the background like Spolstra had, like starting out, because he's obviously younger. And then Dwight Boyd is Penny's chief of staff. But I don't think any of those would qualify as like what we've seen in mainly basketball and football, like the true GM.
So I would say sell a little bit, even though I agree with it still.
I am going to let you take this one first because I don't.
Oh, my man.
No, this is what I'm saying. I want to hear your reasoning because there's other questions that I have that, honestly, I don't know. I don't like what the financials are. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and see, GM, so the way y'all are saying that, what I think most of the listeners would be thinking about is, like, how like a NBA GM will roll or NBA GM, NBA NFL, and they're kind of helping you with the players. With the new NIL, GMs are just practically the people who like negotiate the money with the family.
With the agents?
Yeah, with the agents or the family or help fundraise and all of that. Although they love the coach, but it's not like they're doing the recruiting for the team and all of that.
Okay, so to your knowledge, like let's take I think Shire has a GM, doesn't he? I'm trying to like take a classic big name example. Obviously John Shire's going into the living room with a different budget than Penny is, so I don't want to say
North Carolina got a GM. They got a GM Tanner.
Okay, let's take Carolina.
That old man.
And again, it's Carolina's the same example. Yeah. I get that they're shopping at a different
Shire has one.
Yeah, Ernie is the one in Mary.
Ernie, so. There we go. Let's use with, Ernie Kuiper for those Ryan. For those that don't know. Yep. Okay. Is Ernie just a negotiator, or is he the one that's also bringing, like, to Ryan, is he the one that's saying, like, here are the list of players that I think we should get, and then maybe Ryan gets to make, at the end, Ryan's the head coach, so he gets to make final say, but, like, does it work more like that, or is it more just, this is the person on staff that just basically handles the negotiations of the money?
Yeah, they're mostly are doing the business. Like, I don't think Ernie is going saying these are 6 or 10 guys we need to look at. You know, if some come across his desk, Jim Tanner's not recruiting. Like, it's mostly about, you know what I mean?
So they truly brought in Jim Tanner because there's probably, what, in the NBA, there's probably not 5 better negotiators than Jim Tanner?
Yeah, Jim understands. He's low.
He's a super agent, for those that don't know. Like, he's one of the, like, biggest agents.
Yeah, he's that agent.
Yes.
I mean, well, he was. He had to sell his stuff to become the
sure
GM.
Sure did.
No,
yeah.
Seriously. No.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure. Completely has no say.
No. Uh-huh. Technically, with
on
the
paper.
Rules, yeah, you can't.
Yeah. I know what it says on paper. Yeah. I'm sure a man that built an entire business, but with his bare hands, I'm sure he has no say whatsoever what's happening to it.
I think he got a good payout, though, the company he sold it to. He sold it to Glucherman or something like that.
Yeah, but like Jimmy sold his business. Jimmy's still rolling up the sleeves with CAA.
Really?
Sexton, oh yeah.
But he still can do that, though. He's not.
He's not a GM, yes.
Yeah, and he don't work for
correct.
No institution. So, yeah, the GM will help them if it's a GM that's going to raise more money, but I don't think that GM is going to help them recruit and stuff like that or get players developed or bring them to them from their standpoint.
Okay, so I went into this thinking I was probably going to buy it. I'm selling it. So it feels like in college football, at least at the high level, the GM role works more like we think of an NFL GM in the sense that obviously the head coach is going to have the biggest say. But to me, it's like I think of it like the 49ers. John Lynch has the GM title, but if Kyle doesn't want somebody, John doesn't take that person. Mm-hmm. And so, like, but at the same time, it's like usually in charge of finding players, like head of the scouting department, whatnot. Like, that works more traditionally. Whereas you're saying this is more like chief fundraiser. Like, he's basically the head of business development, fundraising, negotiating deals, but it's not really roster management per se.
No, that's why they brought Jim in, although he can recruit. Jim is a lawyer. He was a lawyer. Yeah, Jim is a lawyer.
Lawyer agent, yes.
Yeah, so he understands contracts. He understands value of the money and stuff like that. So them are the more type of guys they're bringing in instead of, because ultimately the staff is supposed to recruit. And you can only have four and all three go out on the road. So it's like, They got a limit there.
Yeah, because I was actually thinking, see if you buy this. So, you know, one of the common criticisms right now of Penny is, and by the way, this is Memphis Tigers are the only team that this applies to in college basketball. The roster changes every year. To which I'm like, are y'all watching the same sport that I am? Or is it just like you're just watching the Tigers? Like, because if you admit you're just watching the Tigers, that's fine. But it's like, that's what this sport is. I mean, George, how many returners? Ole Miss has Dia,
Klafke.
Okay, who barely played.
And I think that's it.
All right. Two.
And that was a Sweet 16 team last
And that
year.
Was a well-funded team. Okay.
And Baylor lost all their players. You remember the year before last or whatever.
Right.
That was a big deal there.
I actually think Penny's kind of trying to address this. So, for instance, Curtis feels like a guy that could stay for multiple years. Again, could. Mm-hmm. Everything is clearly could. I like Ashton's chances of staying multiple years. He's gotten more into local high school kids. Like, I can kind of see a little bit of a pivot of, I have the opportunity to keep some of these guys. Because I do think Penny would have loved to have kept PJ. But last year we run into a situation where all these schools are trying to get these massive deals in before the house settlement goes final. And all of a sudden, going to battle with a $4.5 million roster, you're broke at that level. I'm not saying compared to the rest of the league. You're still probably, 60th probably nationally? Somewhere in that area? Mm-hmm. But against the guys that you're going up against, you cannot go into the same... You're not competing. But I can see where there is some pivot to being able to have some continuity with the roster. It's just you can't flip a switch like that. Basically, he put together a roster for last season. By the way, that roster worked. And then overnight, essentially, everybody just tripled the budgets, trying to get everything in before the NIL settlement. I'm not necessarily holding... I don't think you can just all of a sudden, right off the bat, just flip a continuous roster. Like it's going to take a little bit, but I can see where there is a pathway to this.
No, I'm with you on it. The NIL is, like, even right now, we were saying earlier on Jason Jones, same thing you're saying now, keeping Curtis, keeping Ashton, keeping Thafford. They named like four or five people, and they were saying then they're from close to Memphis. So playing for the Tigers, they understand the why. When you picking up NIL, guys came because you gave them the best money, not far as they have, Memphis pride. And
right.
Grew up watching the Tigers, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's a different why when you're trying to get them to go out there and to compete on that level. I think you want chemistry, but I think in this area, some teams that has, started out, we only have one, two. You know what I mean? Because you get, your recruiting standpoint to get other players and maybe even better players. But for whatever reason, I'm going to be real, though. Our roster, if you hear some of these prices, are not bad. It's just it's people that's not producing right now.
No, and there's probably, I guess that could be the argument for, does there need to be someone that goes, hey, Penny, I know that this kid was a five-star, but this would be a waste of money.
So I don't know. I think that would be more maybe assistant coach or somebody on staff than it would be probably GM.
No, I think that's one. You've sold me that selling's the right call.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a quick break. Let's continue the Tiger basketball conversation with Jason Munns next, right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Jason!
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building
a life. For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. and we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes of network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ethan Munns is the Tiger basketball beat writer for The Commercial Appeal. You can follow him on the Everything app at Munsley. Munns, what are we listening to?
This is the late, great Todd Snyder's All Right Guy.
I think I'm now 3 for 3 because Harrington did Snyder on Monday and Tuesday. So now I've had a Snyder song play every day.
Well, listen, I feel he's worthy of it.
Absolutely.
Sad day. Sad week, I guess it's been since he died. And, underappreciated and just good stuff.
All right, I want to start with a question that you and Jonah discussed on your podcast. It's available wherever you get your podcast, The Commercial Appeal, Tiger Sports Podcast. Check it out. Make sure you download, like, listen, subscribe, all the good stuff. Is it time to reset expectations for the Tiger basketball team?
Probably not. But we're getting there. We are getting close. And the reason why we posited that premise is because, well, two things. First of all, as we all know, mid-November bracketology is
the gospel.
Is definitely something that we all need to hold near and dear. I think it was yesterday when we recorded. It was hot off the wire that Joe Lunardi had changed his bracketology, where he'd had Memphis as the automatic qualifier out of the American pretty much all offseason. He changed it after the loss to UNLV, and now South Florida is ESPN's automatic qualifier out of the American for the NCAA tournament. So there was that part of it. And then also, you know, okay, losing to Ole Miss is one thing, but losing at home by 14 points to UNLV, coupled with the fact that the next five of the next seven games, at least five of the next seven games, will be against top 50 KenPom teams. So, like, if you can lose at home to UNLV by 14 points, a UNLV team that was missing three starters, a UNLV team that two of the guys that they had on the team who did start combined to play 3 minutes total in the second half because of foul trouble, and you still lost to that team by 14 points at home. What it might do for some people is it might make them think that, like, the next seven games are going to be pretty rough, and therefore, like, what, you know, like, Memphis has done a good job the last couple of seasons of really making a name for themselves in the non-conference. Obviously, last season going 10-3, the year before that, want to say 11-2, something like that.
I think we said 11-3, but I think you might be right that they were 11-2 and maybe lost one before the, because that collapse came primarily in conference play.
Exactly. So, like, they were 15-2. I know they were 15-2 when Caleb Mills.
Yeah,
got
no, you're 100% right. You're right. They in conference play, they wrapped it up with a, remember, kind of a weirdly uncomfortable Austin Peay game. at 11-2.
That's right. That's right. So the point is, like, it just doesn't feel like that is going to be the sort of non-conference, thing that Memphis is going to do this year. You're already 1-2. It's the first time since 2020 that you're under 500 under Penny Hardaway. And again, you've got Purdue. You either got Texas Tech or Wake Forest after that, and then a couple of bye games, and then you've got, Louisville and Baylor and Vandy and Mississippi State. And it's just like, it just doesn't feel like, again, I mean, I'm not saying at all that Memphis can't go beat Purdue. I'm not saying that at all. Like, actually, that would be pretty on brand for Memphis.
Because remember, weirdly, we were talking about this last week. I actually kind of was more interested in what happened on Sunday than I necessarily was in the other two, because to me, it's like, all right, season opener, I thought you got a good effort. And then when they went to Ole Miss in a game that, they've got a name on the jersey that they care about, they played well. It was going to be a test of what happens when a UNLV comes into town, you're a double-digit favorite, what do you look like? And I think that's kind of the question of, was that the sign of something troubling, or could you maybe make the argument, all right, that was the Arkansas State game last year?
You could absolutely make that argument. You could absolutely make the argument that Memphis just either was not paying close enough attention to UNLV because UNLV had already lost home games to UT Martin in Montana, or you could make the case. I mean, I could hear the argument that Memphis was looking ahead, that Memphis was not paying close enough attention to UNLV because they were paying too much attention to Purdue. So to the Purdue game that was on the horizon, that is tomorrow. So, I don't think that, I'm not saying that anybody should reset their expectations. All I'm saying is that, number one, Joe Lunardi has, for what that's worth. I mean, certainly, again, it's gospel for sure in mid-November. But the other thing is that if you can lose at home to UNLV, you're 1-2. Your next game is against number one Purdue. And this is not just like your run-of-the-mill number one team in the country. Like, Purdue's got multiple guys who would – be playing, who could be playing professional basketball right this minute at a very, very high level. Possibly as many as three or four of them, maybe even more than that. Like this Purdue team is just a really, 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 really strong, consistent, reliable, well-coached basketball team. And so anyway, it just feels like it could be a long 6 weeks.
Well, it's interesting because I was thinking, like, they have to be up there in continuity. And so I clicked on KenPom. They're obviously eighth, and you're like, okay, well, but it's even more so when you think about it in these terms. Here are the teams that are ahead of them in terms of continuity. Navy, which checks out.
Right.
They're really not taking transfers, and a lot of times guys are not transferring out.
Right.
Harvard. Virginia Military.
Okay.
Northern Iowa.
Okay.
Yale.
Yeah.
Miami of Ohio.
All right.
And Loyola, Maryland. Those are the only schools that have more continuity.
Right. Those are the types of schools, like you mentioned, the Navy situation, the military schools, or they're schools that, people aren't necessarily beating down their doors to
Correct.
Have to
steal their roster, raid their roster.
Right, yeah. I was trying to think, what's the word? Poach guys from their roster. Purdue is a completely different story. Everybody wants Braden Smith, Trey Kaufman, Wren. They bring in Oscar Clough. I mean, he's like the one, like, super big dog they got going right now, who is not a holdover, who's not part of that roster continuity, but like, when you've got that much roster continuity and that much talent, it's like it doesn't rock the boat when you bring somebody like that in, and it hasn't. They're 4-0, and They're the only team in the country with two guys right now with two guys averaging double doubles, and that's Coughlin, Wren, and Oscar Clough. So, yeah, that's what Memphis is going up against tomorrow.
And like weirdly, I was thinking about like this. All right, let's say that the Purdue game goes as anticipated. I weirdly think I'd rather see Wake than Texas Tech because I think they have a better chance of beating Wake. And I do think we're at the point where this team just kind of needs – they might need to see, you know, some balls go through the hoop, if you will.
Yeah, they need something good to happen. And see, I want to go back to the original point that we were talking about, the resetting expectations. Like, this is by no stretch of the imagination am I suggesting that the season is all of a sudden – there's this dark cloud, setting in over this Tiger season. No way am I suggesting that at all. All I'm saying is that the MO, this team's MO, part of its MO, the last couple of years doesn't seem like it is setting up the same way it has the last couple of years, where they're really, really strong in the non-conference and they get ranked and they get these bracketologies are showing up and they're, you know, whatever they are. They're not an 8-9 seed projected necessarily. It's like it just doesn't seem like this season is set up that way. It seems like that if Memphis can keep it together, if it doesn't go very well, if they do wind up, you know, under 500 once conference play starts, if that happens, if they can keep it together and build chemistry and gel and come out better for it on the other side and go into conference play stronger for it, then this still could very well be a special season where, you know, you substitute, you may not be able to get both. You may not be able to do big things in the non-conference and dominate conference like you did last year, but that's, you don't need both necessarily to make a run in March. So yeah, this, I'm not suggesting that all hope is lost, just, it's not going to be like it was last year, or at least it doesn't seem like it's going to be.
And I think that's the other aspect about the season is like, okay, we are, it does also feel like the way things are because people don't know the roster. In fairness, the roster hasn't been together. Like, it feels like they're also just one good performance away from everybody being like, okay, well, that was just an overreaction. But then of course, sure, we'll swing as we always do with this program over dramatically in one direction or the other. I still think, though, I guess where I was after Sunday is I'm not willing to say that, okay, I think this team's a disaster. I was willing to consider what I view the worst case scenario in my mind, which is I think if this team can just keep it together once they get to conference play, they're going to be fine. And even more so, if they just finish in the top two of conference play, we're now in a situation where they've changed the format of the tournament, where the 1 and 2 seeds get byes all the way to Saturday. So you got to win two games from being a tournament team. My concern, though, is will this non-conference drag them down to where they can't even pick themselves back up in conference play?
That is, I think, the key to this whole thing is if it does go that way, if they wind up getting, let's say they go 0-2, this week in the Bahamas, and then they have to deal with Baylor at home, Louisville on the road, Mississippi State on the road, Vandy's coming to town. You got to deal with this sort of murderer's row in December type of deal. Not murderer's row, but like it's a pretty stiff stretch that they're going to be having to deal with. If it doesn't go their way, the key to this season, in my opinion, is going to be whether or not they can hold it together. Like, can Penny and the rest of that coaching staff, maintain, like get the team to, have short memories and get the team to, take what comes their way as lessons learned, as opposed to, you know, things that linger in the back of their mind and that might cause hurt feelings or whatever the case may be. I think that's going to be the biggest, you know, and it's not something we can answer right now, because A, we don't know that that's the way it's going to go in the non-conference. I mean, listen, Memphis, again, I still believe, even after the UNLV game, I said this after the Ole Miss game, but I still believe this. It's entire, like, I do still believe that Memphis has something, that this roster has something. Now, I think Penny is legitimately nervous, though. Like, I don't think he is playing games necessarily when he is saying things like, when he's talking about how he needs his guys to bring the fight and this and that. Like, I think he is being 100% genuine when he says those things. So I think he is legitimately nervous, but I still think there's something in there. There's something that roster has that could keep the train on the tracks, even in the face of, you know, playing all these teams that are very talented and very well ranked and highly thought of and those sorts of things.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned that, because I was also, as I was watching the game on Sunday, I was also thinking this. Well, they're just not going to win many games when Doug has 8 turnovers and 6 points.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's, you know what I mean? Like, I know we can. I know the way the game played out, where it honestly never felt like they were in the game. But I also think if Doug's going to have 6 points and 8 turnovers, there's.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose.
So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.